All right. Can't tell you how excited we are to get two quality players like that where we were picking that we feel can come in and make an immediate impact on our defense. Sharif Floyd, I went through 1,000 scenarios in that 23rd and 25th pick, and I can just tell you honestly, he was not in one of those scenarios. So for him to fall down to our lap, I know there was some conversations as he fell to potentially even move up. But as the names kept falling off the board, we had more than enough options to just sit there and let everything fall to us. And when Sharif fell to us, it was something that was very unexpected that he would come that far because we had him that high on our board. He's a under tackle that can play the run. He can rush the passer. He was played some end his junior year, and then when they moved him back inside his natural position, he really flourished and showed what he can be as a defensive tackle. And then we were sitting there, got a lot of calls on trades for the 25th pick, and then when Xavier Rhodes was sitting there at the corner, a big press shutdown corner that was we feel is going to be a great matchup with the type of receivers that we have to face in this division. So to sit there and get two quality players like that, can't tell you how excited, Coach Frazier and Coach Williams are right now, along with our scouting staff. And I can't emphasize enough the job they have done over the past 9 months to put this together. And it really feel it paid off for us tonight. But we still got a lot of work to go and a lot of work to do over the next couple days.
Rick, what happened that you didn't expect happened 1,000 times?
I think we were, because of all the offensive linemen, that there was a really big run on offensive linemen in that first round. So some of those offensive linemen pushed down some of that defense. And it worked in our favor because a lot of our needs we were trying to fill were on the defensive side of the ball. And I think that the run on the offensive lineman had an integral part of those guys falling to us.
And there was absolutely no personal issue related to, because a lot of times it's an issue that they have that they drop significantly.
No, feel very, very clean. Met with both of them numerous times. There was no personal issues, no off-field issues. What we look for bringing into our building.
What about Floyd's skill set do you like most?
I think he has the combination not only to play the run, but to rush the passer inside as well. And he's a young player that's only going to get better. And he'll have a great opportunity to come in here working with our defensive staff and with our defensive line. We expect a lot of big things from him, not only next year, but into the future years as well.
So with Kevin still here at the under tackle position, then do you anticipate them being in a rotation and him also maybe playing some inside on passing?
I think that'll all – Coach Frazier can answer that and how all that rotation and stuff. Right now I'm just trying to gather them. We'll figure the rest of the stuff out when we get him here.
His skills, could he play nose though if he had to? Or?
I think he has the flexibility to play inside at nose, but I think his true position is a three technique just because of his natural quickness and athletic skill set.
You talked about having the big cornerback to play receivers in your division. Would you say that Rhodes was a need pick or was he?
No, he was our very high on our board at the corner. And I know we've really tried to emphasize on getting bigger corners. That was kind of our criteria. And when he fell to us, we had talked about, because we had four or five other players that we were really strongly considering, but him and Floyd were two of the players that we said we will not trade out of and take those two players and then try to fill the rest of the needs as we go through the draft.
Do you consider Rhodes a man corner, or does he have the instincts to play zone too?
I think he has the instincts to play zone, but he plays a lot of press, and he's a shutdown press corner. He's as big a corner as you can get, and he can run, and he has ball skills. So, and he can run support. He fits all the things we're looking for in a corner for this scheme.
Strictly an outside. One last question, and Rick will be able to follow up with you again in a minute, I think.
How early did you project, did you say, not being in any of those 1,000 scenarios, how early did you project possibly him going? Was he a top five?
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember. He was higher on our board.
We'll be back. We'll be able to follow up with him in a couple minutes.
You're not going to be called away again.
No. Sorry about that. when I came down here, we've been told them guys are working the phones, and luckily, you know, we were able to move back into the first round, so now we have three first-round picks. And to go get Cordell Patterson, call him CP. So, but we felt, besides Tavon Austin, he was the most explosive playmaker with the ball in his hand. And we had talked about potentially moving up to try to go get him tomorrow, but when something came to fruition tonight while I was talking to you guys, we wanted to jump on that. So we were very, very aggressive to go do that, just because I know what he can do as a receiver, but especially what he can do as a potential punt and kickoff returner, because he is magic in that area as well. So when you're looking at him and when we're evaluating him, not only is he going to give you a young receiver that you can bring along under the guidance of a Greg Jennings, under Coach Stu, under Bill Musgrave, but also replacing someone that's very difficult to replace when we traded Percy. But this guy can do, we feel, just as much or more than Percy can as a returner. So we're very excited, not only we could bring as a receiver, but what he could potentially bring as a returner as well.
So, Rick, it's a 2, 3, 4, and a 7. Is that correct?
Right. Basically, when you look at that, we got their one for – we just flopped ones and twos. Okay, so that's a wash, and then we gave a 3-4 in our last 7. Our first 4.
What's your thought process as you try and figure out how much is too much to give or in that situation?
You know, we go off the point charts and stuff, but then, you know, to get another pick in the first round and to get a player of that caliber that was still there, you know, we felt that he could be that big of a difference maker for us to go ahead and get it done.
Did this first round work out ideally for you? I mean, all the
offensive linemen. I'm very excited about it. Yeah, I don't know if it could work out any better for the caliber of players we got with all three of those kids coming into our program.
Was your presence down here for those brief few minutes an indication that you didn't think anything was going to get done up there in the final few picks?
No, but you never know. So it, and I just wanted to try to get you guys out of here, but no, but yeah, it was something that I wasn't expecting, but when we were able to get something done, we had to cash in on it.
With Patterson,
I think it's a process with all these young receivers, but I know he has some unique skills. When you watch the tape on him, when they put him in the backfield and pitched him the ball, or if you throw him a bubble screen, when you see him go downfield, I mean, you're talking about a, you know, 6'1", 215, 16-pound receiver that runs 4.3 that is electric with the ball in his hands. And what he does after the catch and what he does as a returner. So that's a huge added value, not only what he will grow into, and I know we have to bring him along as a receiver, but what he can potentially immediately add as a returner.
What are the areas that you think he needs to be brought along in most? Obviously, a guy described as raw on most fronts.
Yeah, you know, it's just like all these young receivers that come out. Now, you know, he's going to be a little bit farther behind just the nuances of the game because he was a JC kid and was – you know, showed up on the campus at Tennessee in July and was there for basically 4 or 5 months. So this is a young kid, and we feel we have, and we've talked about this with Coach Frazier, with Coach Musgrave, with Coach Stewart, having, if we're able to land this kid, having a specific game plan when he comes in here, how we'll be able to develop him and how we'll be able to get him on the field and get the ball in his hand. So not only when you're talking about players – and what they can do on the field and talent evaluation, we really hone in on when this guy comes in here, knowing his strengths and weaknesses, having a game plan for that player when he comes in. And I think that paid off dividends last year because we did a lot of the same thing with a lot of the draft picks that we came in last year.
So if you had gotten, if he had been taking a pick or two before, was there another player that you would have moved up in the first round for?
Nope.
Rick, and how much did Greg Jennings – having him play into this a little bit too, with a raw receiver, having a guy to tutor him and mentor him?
Greg's is the ultimate pro's pro, and I don't know if there's anyone who knows the game better at that position than Greg Jennings. So to have a player like a Greg Jennings on your roster to bring Patterson in under his wing and under his tutelage, I think, is a huge part of this as well.
Did you have a discussion about maybe taking Patterson with the 25th pick, or was that clearly going to be the cornerback?
He was in the discussion. We wouldn't have moved up in the first round if we didn't have an interest in him in the first round.
Was there much vacillation about not giving up as much as you did? Because now you have to wait till the fourth round to make another pick.
I understand. Yeah, but I also know that basically you gave up a third and a fourth rounder. We had an extra fourth to give, and then we have 3 sevenths, so we still have 2 sevenths left as well.
3 first round picks. There are still highly rated linebackers on the board. Did you not take a linebacker because of where you had them rated, or because you don't consider the position a position of great need, right?
Well, I think we're still going to continue to look at linebackers, and that, you know, we'll look through this draft because we think there's some value as we go through on that third day. Also, we'll continue to monitor what's out there. Our roster is not going to be done on Sunday. That's going to continually build all the way up to, in fact, we didn't get A.J. Jefferson until a week before we played our opener last year. So that's going to be, we're always evaluating our roster and always going to work to continue to add.
Do you think there are linebackers that would be there on the third day of the draft that could come in and start for you if they had to?
Do you know which ones? I have no idea. We'll find out.
How about trading the rest of your picks and just moving back up into the second round and calling early weekend?
You guys would like that. You go enjoy the 70-degree weather we're supposed to get.
Should we come here tomorrow, or are you just going to sit this
we
thing out?
We come in and eat some pizza. Don't Dunhagen feed you guys pizza during the season?
Was Musgrave just feeling left out up there after the two defensive picks?
He was walking around a little bit with a sad, puffy look on his face, but it perked up really quick.
So how did the three guys that you took here fit into the philosophy you've talked about in terms of smart guys who want to play football, want to get better, means a lot to them, and all that?
Yeah, we feel very strongly about all three of those guys coming into our program.
Do you feel like you got 3 starters, or
that'll all play out once we get them in here and let them get acclimated? I mean, we got a long way to go before we open up in Detroit.
Last couple for Rick, and then Leslie will be coming down here.
How much extra time did you have to spend on Patterson, just given that he only had the 1 year and the JC stuff?
We spent a lot of time. I mean, he was here on our top 30. I know we spent time on campus with him. We spent time at the combine with him. So we have a pretty good feel for the type of player we're bringing in.
Back to Floyd there quickly. When you have a player that's that high on your board falling, how tempted were you to try and get up and get him? Was it hard to not pull a trigger and move?
It is, but again, my philosophy is really be patient. And you can be patient when you have alternatives as well. So, but I felt very strongly about staying patient because I wanted to make sure the way the board was falling, we could get two very significant players at 23 and 25, and we just happened to get another significant player.
With those big receivers in the division too, how important is it having that size with Rhodes to go
it's
with?
Very important. I know Coach Frazier and his philosophy and our defense's philosophy is to try to have size and speed because of the quarterbacks we have to face in this division and the type of receivers that are in this division.
Last one here. Well, at what point did you sort of breathe a sigh of relief and think you were going to get Sharif? I mean, was it after the Bear pick or was it before that? Or at what point did you think he was going to fall?
When we were on the clock. Because you don't know what's going to happen to pick before. If someone trades up, tries to move in front of you. So I don't take anything for granted till we're actually on the clock and have players. That's bad an omen, too, if you start pulling tags before they
– when you had to be on the clock?
Yes. Yes. No, not with that type of player there.
All right.
All right, guys, thank you.